If you heard Michael Cohen's testimony yesterday, you might have caught what he said President Trump told him about African Americans.
He once asked me if I could name a country run by a black person that wasn't. This was when Barack Obama was president of the United States. And while we were once driving through a struggling neighborhood in Chicago, he commented that only black people could live that way.
We don't know if Trump actually said those things, but he has certainly talked about Chicago's crime problem. He said the violence in Afghanistan is nothing like Chicago, which he described as carnage. Last year, Chicago had more murders than New York and Los Angeles combined, despite having far fewer people. But Chicago Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson says that's not the whole story.
We get painted, unfortunately, in a bad light when it comes to violence nationally. But I want people to know Chicago is a safe city.
So what's true? Well, it's hard to drop in for a week and figure out the answers. So for this story, we went to an expert, someone who covers Chicago crime all the time. His name is Patrick Smith, and he's the criminal justice reporter for WBEZ. We asked him to take his time and really answer the question of what's going on and whether things are getting any better. Here is his story.
Late last year, Pastor Corey Brooks had lunch with a couple guys from his neighborhood on the south side of Chicago. Wilbert Morris and Marcus Clark, each 25, each had spent time in prison for gun crimes. Brooks pushed them to sign up for a construction training class at his community center. The exchange was captured on video by a filmmaker who'd been trailing Brooks for a documentary about Chicago anti-violence efforts.
So if we can figure out how to get all the guys from the blocks to participate, get y'all trained, help y'all make bread, and get y'all a job for the rest of y'all's lives, that's what I'm trying to do.
They both said they were interested. In January, just 4 days before the class was scheduled to begin, Clark and Morris were shot and killed. They were Chicago's first murder victims of 2019.
I'm crushed. There's a lot of people crushed behind this.
I spoke with LaVondale Glass, known as Big Dale, just a few days after the murders. Glass works with Brooks and helped recruit Clark and Morris to the class.
They was hopeful. It was a chance for them.
Some of this information that you're getting here, it may seem similar.
Today, the construction class Morris and Clark were supposed to be a part of is in its seventh week. There are 13 people in the class, most of them men in their 20s. Pastor Corey Brooks says they've been able to get jobs for almost every person who has graduated from past classes.
Our goal has been, since we started the classes, to get those individuals who have felonies, target out individuals who may have been in gangs, and get individuals who are trying to change their lives around.
Brooks says what happened to Morris and Clark shows how desperate people are for alternatives to the streets and how hard it can be to get out.
That is a good example of how difficult it is to get people on the right track, even when they desire to want to change, because there's so much working against them and not enough working for them. So if anything, it challenges me to want to work harder because those are two young men that did not get the opportunity that could have changed their lives.
The construction class is held in an old Walgreens pharmacy that Brooks turned into a community center. It's located on Chicago's south side. About four blocks down the street is Brooks's church, New Beginnings. In between is a public housing complex called Stateway Gardens. The area has a nickname. It's called O-Block.
The Chicago Sun-Times wrote an article about 3 years ago called the worst block in the city of Chicago, the most dangerous block in the city of Chicago, and it said O-Block.
On the other side of the city from Brooks's converted pharmacy is Loyola University psychology professor Art Lorigio's office.
I calculated the average number of homicides in the city since the 1970s.
Lorigio's numbers show a steady decline in murder since the 1990s until 2016, when Chicago had almost 800 murders. Lorigio says 2016 seems to be an aberration, not a sign of pending doom. Besides, by per capita numbers, which any criminologist will tell you are much more important than totals, Chicago ranks as the 14th most violent city in the country, nowhere near the top. But that's not how it feels in certain parts of the city.
So Chicago is a city of very stark contrast. Chicago is a city in which you have tremendous economic inequality. When you have tremendous economic inequality in any city in the world, you have higher rates of violent crime. Chicago's not going to be a city with 200 or 100 homicides until we revitalize the communities on the west side and the south side where homicides have been most rampant for 50 years.
Actually, I think Chicago pride itself on the segregation. They be saying it's a city of neighborhoods, but that's just a nice way of saying segregation.
Back on the south side, James Highsmith sits at the front counter of Pastor Brooks' community center, checking in the men and women for the construction class. Highsmith used to be a high-ranking member of a notorious gang called the Black Disciples. He went to prison, and when he got out, he started working to stop the violence in his neighborhood. Highsmith got hooked up with Brooks a couple years ago. Like Lavondale Glass, he tries to mediate disputes and recruits people to take construction classes or get involved in something positive.
They are fully aware of the conditions that we live in and the conditions that we face. They recognize that it seems that everybody is against us and we're against each other. Because there's so few dollars in the community, everybody is struggling for the same dollar. So it promotes violence. It promotes conflict.
The Black Disciples, Highsmith's old gang, are responsible for a lot of violence in this community. But gang membership doesn't mean the same thing as it did decades ago when Highsmith was coming up. It used to be kids made a choice to join gangs. If they didn't join up, they were neutral and largely left alone. Now, in neighborhoods on Chicago's south and west sides, gang membership is essentially predetermined by where you live. And once that identity is set, it can be hard to shake. Pastor Corey Brooks lives in this neighborhood, a few blocks from his church, and he says his youngest son is sometimes mistaken for a gang member.
I tell you how bad it is. The church has been here for 12 years. We lived in the area for 12 years. But I have never, five blocks, never, ever allowed my son to walk to church.
Chicago Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson took over as head of the department in 2016, the year when Chicago murders skyrocketed to almost 800. Johnson says Chicago's biggest problem is there are too many guns in the city.
You know, we sit in between Indiana and Wisconsin, and they're... they really have lax gun laws compared to Illinois, and it's easy for people that want to obtain guns to go to other states and get them.
But he acknowledges the city's history of segregation and disinvestment in minority communities plays a big role, too.
You show me a person without hope for change in his life and hope for doing better, then I'll show you a person that will commit crimes, you know, all the way up to murder.
Johnson says it is getting better in Chicago. He credits an increase in the number of police officers, an investment in technology to detect shootings more quickly and monitor problem areas with cameras, and a recent push for police reform that he hopes will improve the relationship between police and minority communities. Northwestern University professor Andrew Papakristos says Chicago is at a crossroads.
Since 2016, we've gone down consecutively. It's too early to say whether it's the start of a decline or whether we're going to level off again. I think Chicago has some tough choices. I think Chicago's at a turning point, and it's one some of these other cities have made long ago.
Papakristos studies gun violence as a public health concern, and he says the city needs to attack its violence problem the same way America is trying to address its obesity problem, by doing everything all at once.
When we think about the public health approach to obesity, we do make sure that we have the best emergency room response to, say, heart attacks. And we then also hope that our primary care physicians are talking about things like diet and exercise and smoking. At the same time, we're also talking about the nutritional values in school lunches and food deserts. All of those things combined, very different strategies, are attacking the obesity epidemic.
Papakristos says we need a holistic approach when it comes to gun violence, too. Police need to make targeted arrests and focus on ongoing violent disputes. The city needs to invest in neglected communities and address segregation and inequality. And just as there are a lot of solutions to Chicago gun violence, there are also a lot of questions to just how bad the problem is in the first place. Many parts of Chicago are as safe as anywhere else in the country. But in some neighborhoods, it's not safe for the son of a preacher to walk down his own street. For Here and Now, I'm Patrick Smith.